Okay. Okay. Open up your Bibles to Psalms chapter 5. And there's a lot of people that spend a lot of time trying to be blessed and highly favored, and they got to understand they already are blessed and highly favored. When you got born again, you became a child of God, and you can't become any more favored than that. Now, we pull on those blessings, and the Bible tells us that with the fruit of a man's lips shall a man's belly be satisfied. You know, one of the things that we do need to do is find out what the Bible says and then walk around talking about that to ourselves, meditating on that. You know, you're returning God's word to him when you do that. You know, and it's building it up inside of you. But look at Psalm chapter 5, verse 11. It says, "But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. Wilt thou compass him with a shield." Did you see that in that first verse? He said, because thou defendest them. You actually get a shield of protection around you when you get born again. Now, there's a lot of people that run around and they do everything they can do to destroy that shield with the words of their mouth. You know, Job, he had a covenant with God. And evidently, he had a real good hedge of protection around himself with this covenant. And evidently, it was so good that the devil pretty much gave up on attacking Job because he couldn't get through that hedge. And God had to point out to the devil where Job tore his hedge down. You know, we talk a lot about the words of our mouth. You know, if you need protection, and you really think that's something you need to build up on, then go to Psalms 91 and get that in your heart and meditate on that. You know, if you need comfort, look at Psalms 23, the Good Shepherd. You know, whatever it is you need or desire, find it in the Bible and then start meditating on that. You know what happens when you do that? You get that in your heart. And then you believe it. And then you confess it with your mouth, and it is so. You know, some people get mad, and they say that's just that name it and claim it stuff. Well, how did you get born again? You believed it in your heart, and then you confessed it with your mouth. And then it's not going to happen any other way. He gave us the perfect recipe right there. Now, here's the thing about grace, you know, this shield, this grace shield that we have, this grace, favor, blessing shield. And you need to understand this, that grace removes guilt and mercy removes misery. You know, when we understand that we're covered by grace, we make a mistake, that grace will take care of that guilt. Now, this is in no means a license to go out there and be an idiot. There's some people that talk about this sloppy grace or whatever they want to call it, and that's stupid. That's stupid. Grace does not give you a license to go sin. But when you do make a mistake, grace covers you. See, you should, you know, a man tries to do right. He wants to do right in his heart. He wants to do right by his spirit. But one of the things that happens to a lot of Christians is when they make a mistake, they let this condemnation come in and beat them down. And some of them get beat down so far, they don't ever come back to church. That shouldn't be. See, you have been blessed with a shield of the largest size, and it's called favor. It covers the whole body. The shield here is the favor or grace of Jehovah. You are literally fenced in. You're covered over as with a screen. You're shielded and defended. Now look at Psalms chapter 91, verse 4. Psalms chapter 91, verse 4. It says, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. You're literally covered over with favor, protection, and blessing. You're under his wings. You're shielded by him. That's his grace, his favor, and his blessing. You know, there's a lot of people running around saying they'd rather be lucky than good. Not us, see. We don't have to rely on luck. And we don't really have to be good. We just need to learn how to rely on the grace of God. You know, there's some really, really talented people that don't get as much ground covered as they could. And there's some people that maybe aren't as strong or fast or talented, but they put their trust in God and they surpass them. I see a guy on TV all the time. And man, that's all you hear about is this guy. He's a bareback rider. That's all anybody can talk about at the National Finals Rodeo. It's all anybody can talk about, how good this guy is. And this guy is just a showboat. Man, and he is really good. But I always notice that there's people that put their faith in God that always seem to beat him at the end of the year. He's really, really promoting himself, and the other guys are letting God promote them. Look at Psalms chapter 5. Go back to Psalms chapter 5, verse 12. It says, for thou, Lord, will bless the righteous with favor, will you compass him as a shield. See, the shield of grace, it's not of works. You're not going to earn it. You're not going to earn grace. You can't. Grace is something that is freely given. It's undeserved, unmerited favor of God. Now go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 21. Galatians chapter 2, verse 21 says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Now, Paul wrote this. Paul knew more about the law than anybody else around. He was studying to be the high priest. This guy knew the law inside and out. He knew it. When he got saved, he put the law away. He stayed as far away from that. And he knew that righteousness could not come by the law. It was something that was by the grace of God. So don't get in the way of grace by trying to earn grace. You already have it. God made you that way. He made you righteous the same way. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "He who knew no sin became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus." That's something that happened to us when we said, "Jesus, be my Lord." Guess what else happened? Grace. You're saved by grace, that it might be by faith. See? Jesus got on the cross. And I was telling a friend of mine this. He's a lifetime Catholic. And I was telling my friend, I said, "You know something? Jesus got on the cross. Before that, he got beat up. He got beaten. He got whipped. He got on the cross. He died for our sins. He took everything that we deserved so that we could have everything that he deserved." And my friend said, "That's not fair." And I said, "I know, that's grace." That's grace. You cannot earn that. You can only receive it. In fact, the Bible tells us to receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness and the abundance of grace. That's how you rule and reign over sin. But a lot of people, when they make a mistake, they beat themselves up. And they rehash that thing over and over and over and over and over again. And they feel worse about it. And they keep asking God to forgive them for it. And guess what? They keep on feeling worse about it. You know, a lot of the church has been taught to do this. I started out that way. You know, they said when you make a mistake, you got to follow 1 John 1:9. That you go ask God to forgive you, and he will forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That's true, except he did that before. See, Paul was not talking to Christians right there. He's talking to people that weren't born again. He told them, said, "If you confess your sins, he'll cleanse you of all unrighteousness." And that's true. So when you get born again, you say, "I'm a sinner, I need Jesus." Guess what happens? You get washed in the blood. And it's a done deal with God. But preachers have a bad habit of telling people you need to go to the altar and get right before God. So people will go to the altar and ask God to forgive them for a bunch of stuff that he already forgave them for. And they don't feel any different. In fact, they start feeling worse. And then they start feeling confused. And then they give up. When actually what we're supposed to be doing is relying on 1 John 1:7. "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, then the blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin." So we walk in the light that we know. And when we make a mistake, we say, "Thank you for the blood of Jesus that forgives me of that." And if you just have to talk to God about this some more, you can say something like this. Say, "Father, I really don't like doing this. Will you please help me not do this anymore? Because this is not how I want to be, and I want to change this particular behavior." What would be wrong with that? Somehow it makes religious people feel more powerful when they see people on their knees asking God to forgive them something they already forgave them for. Let's go on here. You know, Luke chapter 1, verse 28. the angel came unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. See, she was endued with grace. You know, scholars figure she was a teenager, that Mary was a teenager when she encountered this angel. And he was telling her how she was going to have a baby. And she had some questions. Wouldn't you have some questions? But she's supposed to get married. And this angel's telling her how she's supposed to have this angel, have this baby because of the Holy Ghost. And that would cause you to ask some questions, wouldn't it? But he answered these questions. Because she wasn't operating in doubt and unbelief. She had honest questions. This had never been done before. Ever. Now, Zechariah, the high priest, when the angel started talking to him about his soon-to-be son, John, he started questioning the angel out of doubt and unbelief. And he got his tongue stopped until it got time to name that baby. But this blessing literally engulfs us. It's a grace. You're in grace. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. And it's kind of a neat illustration, but it showed Adam and Eve standing in the garden, and they actually had this bubble around them. There's a grace shield. There's a favor shield. You see, that's why they didn't need any clothes. They were covered with this grace, this blessing. Everything about God had them covered in every way. They were completely protected. You know, they knew everything. There was nothing they didn't know. In fact, God told Adam to name the animals. And he named all of the animals, and you can't find anywhere in the Bible where God said, well, I don't think this elephant should be called an elephant. Maybe we should call it a rat. You can't find that in the Bible. God never changed the name of anything. He entrusted Adam to do that. And whatever Adam called it was good enough for God. In fact, God gave him complete dominion over everything. And he had that grace shield over him until he sinned. He ate of that tree of knowledge. And God had to kick him out of the garden. Now, this is where people get confused. They think that God was mad at them and kicked him out of the garden because he was mad at them, but that was not true. He had to remove them from the garden so they didn't go eat of that tree of life and live forever in that sin state. That tree of life, if they would have gotten to that tree of life, man, what a mess that would have made. You know, Adam and Eve would still be here today, messed up. He couldn't have that. He engraced us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. Says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. He engraced us. He brought us together in Christ by grace and favor. See, a lot of people don't understand what happened the Jews and Gentiles got brought together. When you call on the name of the Lord Jesus, you will become a Christian. Whether you're Jew or Gentile, He brought us together. And now we got Christians running around hating Jews, which should never be. We got Jews running around hating Christians, which should never be. And some of them may have a legitimate resentment for being mad at Christians, because a lot of Christians go and try to shove their face down their throat. We are supposed to witness to people, but never harass them, and never belittle them, and never be mean to them. Look at Psalms chapter 41, verse 11. By this I know that thou favorest me, because mine enemy does not triumph over me. See, we may have a lot of enemies. You know, you got to know that you do have enemies in this world. But those enemies are not going to overtake you. As long as you stay engulfed in the favor of God and the grace of God, you know, you can do that by pleading the blood of Jesus. Another really good way is to take His word, like Psalms 91. Make that a part of your vocabulary. Say that all the time. Say that before you get out of bed in the morning. You know, just repeat His word to Him. You're getting it in your word. But also, what you're doing is you're causing angels to get moving on your behalf. You know, the Bible tells us that angels hearken unto the voice of His word. See, a lot of people, they kind of got this attitude that the angels hearken unto the voice of God, and they certainly do. But the Bible tells us that they hearken unto the voice of His word. So when you take His word and put it in the atmosphere, that gives those angels a commission, gives them a job. See, they've been sent here to minister to the heirs of salvation. That's us. Now, we don't disrespect them in any way, shape, or form. But wouldn't it be kind of a smart thing to do, living in the world we live in, to take the Word of God and put it in the atmosphere for our behalf? Wouldn't that be a good idea? That'd be a God idea more than anything. It is His idea for us to meditate on His word. Speak His word out there. Get it active in your life. See, favors. Literally, to be blessed with. To take pleasure in. To take care of. That's how God looks at you. He takes pleasure in you. He takes pleasure in protecting you. He takes pleasure in prospering you. He takes favor. He takes pleasure in healing you. He takes pleasure in blessing you. You're His child. You could actually look at it like this. You are His favorite child, because you are. Well, how can you say that? He's got billions. He's God. He can have billions of favorite children. He's way bigger than we are. So He can have as many favorites as He wants. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Yeah, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So here we see the absolute necessity of faith and the secret of pleasing God. Operating in faith, people want to please God. The fastest way to please God is to believe him. Operate in faith. You know, find out what his word says about you and then say that. And then do the things that he asked you to do. You want to know the best way to hurt the devil? Don't do what he says to do. There's a lot of people that are running around trying to crash the devil's party and trying to ruin his day and trying to do all this, and they're trying hard to do stuff. They don't understand that the Bible tells us to submit yourself to God, resist the devil. Doesn't say anything about chasing him. Doesn't say anything about hunting him down. It says resist the devil, and he will flee from you. How do you resist the devil? Don't do what he says to do. One John chapter 3, verse 21. We'll finish with this one because we're going to get into some secrets to answered prayer. But I'm going to start with this. 1 John chapter 3, verse 21. It said, "Beloved, if our heart..." Now, did you notice that first word, "beloved"? See, whenever John's talking to Christians, he'll say something like that, "beloved." He'll address them that way. So, "beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. This is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment." So right there, the very first thing he said, if our heart condemn us not. This is going to take us to understanding 1 John 1:7. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, "Therefore there is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus." The minute you get born again, that condemnation has to leave you. In fact, condemnation does not come from God. Condemnation comes from the devil. So people make a mistake and then they feel condemned. Well, here's a secret that you need to know. The devil's favorite tool to beat up Christians with is the law. So when he'll remind you of your mistake so he can get you to feel condemned. What happened to Adam and Eve when they felt condemned? They hid themselves from God. In fact, God came walking in the garden. He said, "Wherefore art thou, Adam?" As if God didn't already know where Adam was. He's trying to get Adam to locate himself. Adam was hiding from God. See, that's what happens to people when they get, when they buy into that condemnation. They feel so bad. They hide from God. They hide from the church. They don't come back. They go away. They try to not be seen. They don't want anybody to know about their mistake. They don't want to be reminded of what they did wrong. But we're supposed to run to Jesus when we make a mistake. He's the only one that can clean us up. Adam and Eve tried to make clothes for themselves. And God said, that won't do. He put animal skins on them. I can't prove it, but I think those animal skins were inside out so that the blood was out showing. They had a blood covering. I think that was the first sin offering they ever had. Well, let's stop there. We'll pick this up next Wednesday and really get a hold of this. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We praise you for everything you do for us. We thank you for taking care of us. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us. We thank you, Father, that we are forgiven, that we are redeemed. And we thank you, Father, that we have this grace that we can rely on, because we know that we can't get it perfect every time. We may try, but when we make a mistake, you're already there to make the deal right. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.